worthy, Lord, that we should be attentive to you and to your word, Lord. Doing those things that you have instructed us, Lord. And waiting upon you, serving you, that Christ may be formed in us, Lord. We just thank you for all your goodness, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, for all those that can't be with us tonight, Lord, because of illness or whatever. Let your blessing be on them, Lord. Bless each one. Give us strength to do your will. Give us strength to hear your word, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. We need strength in these days, Lord. It's the oppression is tangible, Lord, and it's very difficult. And we need of your spirit, Lord, to strengthen us in the inner man, Lord, to be able to stand in this day, to be able to fight in the spirit, to be able to pray effectively, to be able to keep our minds pure and concentrated on those things that pertain to your kingdom and pertain to holiness, Lord. Grant each one that's here tonight and each one that hears the tapes or the CD or internet or however, Lord, that you would be enriched in our lives, Lord, through your word and through your spirit, Lord. It's only by your spirit that anything is wrought. We recognize that, Lord, and we implore through prayer and through lives that are sacrificed before you, Lord, that you would move by your spirit in each heart to cause your word to be spoken, cause your word to be perceived, cause your word to grow within us, Lord. That Christ may come to fullness of stature within each one of us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Let your Spirit administrate as He will among us tonight, Lord. And we just pray your blessing and thank you for your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we've been talking about discipline and the desire. And I wrote a definition down that I heard today in another study in leadership. So when I write it down, I have a fairly good memory of it, but I don't think I can quote the person who quoted it. But discipline is that transition between your goal and its fulfillment. Okay? Your goal may be to be a man or woman of God, to be a child of God, to come to the fullness, like Lisa spoke on Sunday morning in Burden Brothers. Come to the fullness of God. Okay, that may be your goal. But going from your goal to actually getting there, it's discipline. It's discipline that brings that, makes that transition possible. Okay? Because without disciplines, you're not going to make your goal. That's the reasons for the disciplines. Okay? So, in truth, discipline and desire are really, in a sense, not really unrelated. Because in the long run, you find that the discipline brings you to your desire. The discipline brings you to the fulfillment. You really cannot appreciate the desire if you haven't gone through the discipline. That's why in God's wisdom, he had Jacob marry Leah first through the deception of her brother, Laban. That teaches us a lesson. We all would love to have our desires, but experience soon teaches us that most of life is mundane. And the big struggle with life is how to maintain a sharpness in the midst of boredom, in the midst of the ordinary, in the midst of what seems to be unrelated to the kingdom whatsoever. You really want God, and so he gives you a menial job. How many times does that happen? You really want God, and so he gives you a menial job. And he says, glorify me in this. And you despise it. And when you learn how to really glorify him in the job that you despise, and that comes through disciplines, you begin to know a little something about God. Okay, tonight I want to talk about the Word. Okay? I'm calling it the Word because it is the Word that we live by. Okay? The Word. But I want to make a few things. I don't want to necessarily give some definitions, but I just want to say a few things about the word, okay? When we usually think of the word, what usually do we think about when someone mentions the word? What is usually what you think about?
The Bible.
The Scripture. Okay. Now, I don't call Scripture the word, although you'll hear me call Scripture the word, because it's common usage to call Scripture the word. I'm not sure. Maybe the Scripture is called the word, because I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that one. I like to call them the Scriptures, because that's what Jesus called them. The Scriptures. Okay? So you have the Scriptures. All right? But then Tony mentioned another thing that comes to mind when you say the Word. And what is that?
We're coming from the mouth of God, like a message from
Jesus. That's a possibility. That's another thing. We'll get into that in just a minute, Benny. Because there's two words for word. Okay? And we'll have our resident Greek scholar give us the proper pronunciations for these two words. Okay? All right, but in the meantime, it's Jesus himself. Remember, John 1:1 says what? John, what am I writing John for? In the beginning was what?
The Word.
The Word. Okay? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He. Speaking of the Word. The Word is a He. Yes?
So does it count as Word, like what comes out of His mouth?
Okay, we'll get to that. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him and apart from Him. This is the Word. Him. A He, a Him. Nothing came into being that has not come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Okay? And you skip down, and it says, and the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of Him. Okay? This He, who is the Word, who was the Word, and is the Word, is Jesus. Okay? And I like to make this distinction because I don't know whether I'm just on a high horse and God has got to correct me or what, but I hear a lot of people, I heard today on the radio, a teacher saying that God has given us a manual in the Bible. Okay, in a sense, I guess maybe I can see it. Because Peter says, you do well to pay attention to the Scriptures. Okay? So in that sense, it's a manual. But until. They never say the until word. That's the thing that bothers me. And there's a lot of people that talk about the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, as if the Word has some kind of supernatural power to it. And as if there's life in it. And you'll hear people say, life in the Word. There's life in the Word. Well, let me tell you a secret. You're not going to like this. But there's death in the Word too, if you call this the Word. Pat, you can get death in here. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit gives life. You see, that's why I try to make a distinction when when I do, I'm criticized by some, I think, who think I don't think enough of the Bible. Okay, and that's just something I'll have to deal with, because everything that I try to teach and everything that I stand for and believe is going to be founded here in the Word of God. Okay, we call it the Word of God, founded here in these Scriptures. Okay. Now there are two words for the Word, and the first word is the L word, and we'll let he will say it. Don't rumble out your English smatterings. Let the Greek tell us what it actually sounds like.
Logos.
Just like we would have said it. Logos. Okay. No. See.
Logos.
Logos. Get that logos in your mouth there. Logos. Okay? Logos. Okay? And this is that which is written. Is it two T's?
Yes.
Written? Okay. It's basically what, and this is that word here in the beginning. Say, look, here we've got our scholar up. I'm sorry, you tape landers. You just cannot see or appreciate the marvels that we have from our technician in the back. Because as we speak, he finds verses. He brings up lexicons. And we have Strong's definition here. From something said, including the thought by implication, a topic, subject of discourse also. Reasoning the mental faculty or motive by extension of computation, specifically the article in John, the divine expression. Okay? King James Version, account, cause, communication concerning doctrine, fame, have to do, intent, matter, mouth, preaching, question, reason, reckon, remove, say, shoe, of course. Shoe, that's a good old English word. Speaker, speech, talk. Thing, none of those things move me. Tiny. Okay. So anyway, word work. So there is this word, and it doesn't seem in any of that definition to have anything to do with writing, does it? It's more spoken. So there you go. So much for my teaching. Okay. And then the other word starts with an R, and it is?
Rima.
Rima. R E H M A. R-H. There it is. R-H-E-M-A. Yes, of course. I would have guessed that. Okay. And this word is used somewhere else we'll get to in a moment. Okay. This is also the word in the when it's quoted in Hebrews. Was it in Hebrews that he quotes it? No. I'm thinking too many thoughts. I have too many thoughts going on at one time. When it says he spoke into being all things, it is, yeah, it is in Hebrews. Who spoke into things that were not. All right, I know I've got you thoroughly confused. Me too, so don't feel bad, all right? We're all confused, all right? At least we're all confused together. It's lovely. Okay, I think it's Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That's this word. The rima.
It's a verb. It means verb in Greek.
It's a verb. In Greek it's a verb, okay? It's a verb, whereas the other is a... The logos. Logos is what? It's a noun?
Yeah.
And this is a verb.
It's a verb.
This is an action. This is an action speaking. Okay? So when he spoke, worlds created. Okay? Now when this word is spoken, it's more or less it's kind of like that which is recorded. That when he said not one jot, one tittle. A jot and a tittle. Is that those are Greek? What's a jot and a tittle, bro? The little parts that you put to the Greek words.
Tony, in plural. A tone.
A tone, yeah. So when you have a letter and you put a jot or a tittle next to it, it changes that. So that it, huh? Is that the Hebrew that has the jot and tittles? Okay. It changes it so that it's pronounced differently, okay? So anyway, not one jot, not one tittle, nothing's going to change the word of God, okay? That's that thing that God has spoken, okay? That's set. It's not going to change. Okay? Whereas this rima is when God speaks. When God spoke, there was heavens. All right? And so God is... I don't know how... It doesn't say how the new earth, the new heaven and new earth is going to come. Whether it's going to come from a speaking or what? From a rima? Isn't that interesting? It is, anyway, we don't want to go down any rabbit trails. There's plenty enough of those. Okay? So... we're talking about the word. So what I want to talk about in the word is I want to talk about the scriptures, because the scriptures speak a lot, play a big part in our lives, okay? And that's a very necessary part of our discipline, is to be in the Scriptures, okay? We'll talk about that. But I'm also going to talk about Jesus, and in that sense, I want to talk about the speaking. When it was mentioned by someone, I forget, where they said when the Lord speaks to us. Benny, okay? Right, okay? Where he's speaking to us today, which would be a rima. Okay, he's speaking to us today. All right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Because doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that you should live by every word that proceeds?
Yes, we'll get to that too.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. That's good. You're all tracking. We're all tracking. All right, the first thing I want to talk about is the M word. Okay? The M word when it comes to the Scriptures. All right, the M word. This one, I struggled over this one, okay? Because when I grew up, what's the M word, Ron?
Memorize.
Memorize a scripture. I-Z-E?
Yeah,
I-Z-E. Yes, memorize the scripture. What verse is that found in? Somebody give me the verse real quick. That's study, but study and memorize aren't the same thing. Quick. Where's the memorize verse? You know why you can't think of it? There is no memorize verse. The M word. Some of us can memorize. Some of us have a hard time. Thank God I'm not asked to memorize. It's not wrong, and it's extremely helpful, but it in and of itself does not bring life. Every Pharisee was required to memorize 5 books of the Bible by heart by 12. And in that, they thought they had life, but they wouldn't come to the author of life. The very word who spoke the world into being walked up to them and they said, "No good thing comes out of Nazareth. Who are you?" Okay, what's the M word that the scripture does tell us to do? Meditate. Saints, we can all handle, I can meditate. I don't memorize so hot. When I was a young boy, we didn't have much money. Let me write this down. Med, I-T-A-T-E. Okay, we didn't have much money and it was a nice camp. Did I spell it right? Okay, there was a nice camp that I would have liked to have gone to, but I didn't have the money. It's probably cheap, but I didn't have the money. And so they had a thing where if you memorized 300 verses, you could go for free. 300 verses, you could go for free. So I would go out in my backyard, I'd get the Bible, and I would read it, and I'd get it. Long enough that I could come in and say it to my mother. Yes, you got it. Okay, one down. Go back outside, get another verse, and get it well enough till I could come back in and say it to my mother. You got it. Another one down. And I'd learn 300 verses that way. I went to camp. I can't quote one of them today. Maybe John 3:16. In the King James. I'm just not so hot at memorization. But I've learned to meditate on God's Word. I usually, in the course of the time of the day, I'll ask God, what does that mean? What is this? How does that work? I'm meditating. Like, when we get the new heaven and the new earth, is that going to be spoken into being? And if it is, who's going to do the speaking? Me and you? I'd be curious. Okay, just little things that keeps your mind on God's scripture. And what does it mean? What does it mean? See, we're to meditate on God's word day and night and keep our mind on what God is saying. Okay? So, and we can, I think all of us can handle the M word. We can all meditate. It means to muse on, ruminate, think on, think. What is that? Here's a good thing. Ed and I, we had this thing going for a long time. We'd say, the only joy I know is dishwasher soap. I want to know real joy. Now, that's maybe a negative meditation, but it's a meditation. Your word says joy. And I do this so your joy may be full. I'm not full of joy, God. But I want to be full of joy. So we meditated on God's word. It might have been in a negative context, but it was a meditation on God's word, because God's word tells us that we should have joy, and we weren't experiencing joy. And we thought that was crummy. So did God. And we found out basically it was our own fault, but what's new? Okay. So we meditate on the scriptures, all right? I have a great deal of respect. Like Pastor, he can quote a bazillion scriptures. And Lisa can quote a bazillion scriptures. That's wonderful. I think that's marvelous. I love it. And for myself, I know a lot of scriptures and I haven't the foggiest where they're found. And that can be difficult. Because I want to be able, I think of the thing and I want to be able to tell it to you. And I want to show it to you because it makes a difference to see it. That's what's so nice about having Mike back there, because he's got that tool. See, again, you guys in tape world, you can't see this. Mike in the back, I can say the verse and have no idea where it is, and in 5 minutes, he's got it on the board. 5 seconds. Yeah, 5 seconds, half the time, it's true. And really, Mike, thank you. That's wonderful. It's marvelous. It's a great tool, but it's a great gift to be able to use the tool. So those of you who aren't with us, you miss the teamwork that we have going here. All right? So we're gonna meditate. Okay? And Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Josh 1, 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." All right, in Psalms 119, the whole Psalm 119 is dedicated to the Word. How many know that the Psalm 119 is the longest Psalm, the longest chapter of the book of the Bible, several pages, and that in every verse, every verse has a reference to God's words, His laws, His covenant, His statutes, His ordinances, many different words, precepts. Different words for the same concept. Okay? "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Verse 11. Verse 15. "I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy paths." Verse 27. "Make me understand thy ways and thy precepts, so I will meditate on thy wonders." And 48. "And I shall lift up my hands to thy commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on thy statutes." And 78. "May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on thy precepts." And 148. "My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on thy word." Okay? So, the thing is this. Here's the thing. Memorization is good. And it's a good tool. Just remember this. Memorization, as I see it, is the work of the brain. Meditation is the work of the heart. Okay? Better to have a grasp of what it means than to have it memorized and not really know what it's talking about. Yes, sir. You didn't really know
it, but it wasn't applicable.
Right.
The word becomes applicable when you, it becomes part of you.
And it needs to be part of us. One thing I've told you before, the things that I share with you, I don't share the things that Pastor Thompson has taught us. Okay? They sound like the things Pastor Thompson has taught us because he has taught us those things. But I share the things that God has shown me, whether it's through Pastor Thompson or otherwise. You understand? Okay, the things that I share, I feel God has shown me personally. Now, through Pastor Thompson, certainly, quite a bit. Okay, but the only things I share, I try to. Every once in a while, I'll go like I did earlier, and I'll say, this is the written and this is the spoken, and I can't support it. So, all right, so throw away all what you learned, and let me tell you what God is saying. Okay, what I think God is saying. That's what I think is important. We know what God is saying. That's why it's important to know both the scriptures and Jesus when he speaks to us. We need to know what he's saying. Okay. Another thing about the word. Revelation chapter 5. Remember the little book? The angel had a little book. Oh, no, that's not in there. Revelation 5 is not the little book. Revelation 5 is the book with the seals. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or in the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. You see that? No one's able to open the book or to look into it, Tony. Now, whether this book, what this book stands for exactly, doesn't really tell you. He begins to weep because no one's found worthy to open the book. It's sealed up with seven seals. Whether this book is the scriptures, whether this book is your and my story, it's all about my story. Did you know that? When Jesus talks to me, he always talks to me about my story. Did you see the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Yeah. And they went to talk about Edmund, and the lion said, "This is about your story, not his." He talks to me about my story. And talk to me about your story, Tony. He may give me some insight for correction or help or encouragement or something like that. But basically, he doesn't talk to me about your story. Your walk and his are between you and him. So whether it's that book or whether it's this, either way, no one can open it. No one. You and I have no idea what this thing means. This book. Now I'm holding the scripture in my hand. We have no idea what this means unless the one who opens it, who knows it, who wrote it, reveals it to us. Every major error in denominations, every major error is founded on from this book. They have their verses. And they can prove from the Bible their point of view. Okay? So we have to be careful with the scriptures, because it's the Lord himself who teaches us. It's the Lord himself who speaks to us through this. These are to lead us to him. Okay? And it's Revelation 10 is the little book. Revelation 10. And another strong angel comes down. Okay? In verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. All right? This book is open. All right? When we invert chapter 5, the book is sealed up. And it takes the Lamb to come and break the seals. Only the Lamb can break the seals and reveal what the content of the book. But now this angel comes down and he has a little book in his hands. And this book is open, Tony. This is an open revelation. Okay? This book that he has in his hand. It's open. This book which was open. And he places his right foot in the sea and his left foot on the can. He speaks out. Okay? So then the voice in verse 8, the voice I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and said, go take the book or the scroll, okay, the one that's open, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. Okay, so this is what this, as I see it, this is what he's saying. Take, God is giving revelation to us today, okay? God is giving us insight. John, God is giving us a lot of insight here. Yeah, I think you've noticed that. That's why you hang around, huh? God has given us some insight. And what he's telling us is, go take the book. He wants us to take this book, Dan. He wants us to make this book part of ourselves. The thing that God is revealing. We can sit here, like many people do, for 30 years and learn this stuff so that we can teach it to others and never do what this verse is asking us to do. Like he said, it's one thing to learn it with your head and to be able to talk about it and to quote facts. But it doesn't say, take this book and memorize it. It doesn't say, take this book and learn it. What do you do with the book? And he said to me, take it and eat it. Tony, we have to eat this. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to eat it. And I think that's what we're doing. Every day. Out in the trenches. At the job. At work. At home. Wherever we are. We're learning to eat this book. We're not so much we talk about it. As that we're eating it. We're making it part of who we are. Making it part of what we think. The way we do things. Yes.
Jesus had gotten on the Pharisees for that because they memorized the scripture, but they didn't partake of him. He was the bread of life they were supposed to be eating of, that they would have life.
Supposed to be eating from the bread of life, and he was the bread of life. You search the scripture, it says in John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because, see, he calls them scriptures. See that? I got good grounds for calling them scriptures, okay? You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Where is eternal life? Are you going to get eternal life in these scriptures? There's a lot of people think that you get eternal life from the scriptures.
Jesus is there.
They really do. I feel bad for them. Jesus did not say, I am the way, the truth, and the Bible is the life. They didn't say that. Why not? Because you can get death out of the Bible. You can get division out of the Bible. How many denominations are there? They all come out of the Bible.
How many versions?
How many versions do we have? Yeah. How much do we... Okay. You think you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. That's why I make a distinction, because of these two verses, between the scriptures and Jesus himself. Yes?
It's that the same thing, just about in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Take the scroll and eat it.
And eat it. Yes, he did the same thing to Ezekiel. He made him eat the scroll.
Yeah.
And Ezekiel it represents, in many ways, our lives today. The prophetic move of God in the earth in the last days is Ezekiel. And we will have to eat the book. Okay, so we have to eat this book. And notice, in my mouth, it's sweet as honey. It sounds good, doesn't it, preaching? You hear it and you go, amen, brother, I like the way you preach. That's great. That's good stuff. Amen, that's great. And then go out and live it tomorrow. Ugh. Indigestion. Okay. So we have to eat the book. So, all right. Now, a few more, something practical. All right. Now here, I'm going to read the thing from Peter because I want to give good balance to what the scriptures. Okay. Where is it? The day star rise in your heart. Here it is. 2 Peter 1:19. And it says this. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure. All right. He's talking about this now. These scriptures. Peter talked about the scriptures. He talked about the fact that he knew he was writing scripture. And he knew what Paul was writing was scripture. Peter knew this. Because he said concerning what Paul was writing, that people twist the things that Paul says, just like they do all the rest of the scripture. That's what Peter said. So he recognized that what Paul was writing was scripture. Okay? They had that recognition. Okay? So now he says, concerning these, and we have the prophetic word made more sure. He's talking about having heard the voice of God out of heaven. Who's heard the voice of God out of heaven? I've heard God speak to me in my head, but I've never heard the voice of God out of heaven. Have you? There's a few people that have, but I'm not one of them. I don't know. But what Peter says is we got something better than that. How many people heard what God said on that mountain? Four. Peter, James, John, and Jesus. Okay? But because it's written, all of us know the story. Okay? We have something better. Okay? We have a better word than something given out of an utterance made from heaven. Okay? So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which, this, meaning this, to which, don't let me get in your way, so you can see it up there, to which you do well to pay attention. All right? Notice that? See the subtlety of that? Didn't say memorize. He didn't say it's a roadmap. He didn't say this is your manual. He says, to which we will do well if we pay attention. How? As to a lamp shining in a dark place. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Okay? Remember that what's more important than the lamp and the light is the path itself. Many people make a lot about the Bible. As if it is life in and of itself. It is to help us come to life. I don't want to bring anything against it because this tells you right here. We do well to pay attention to this. Okay, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. But there's the until word. Until. Have you thought of this? Have you ever meditated on this one, Tony? Forever and ever will we have Bibles? In the worlds to come, will we have Bibles? I don't think so. Because you and I will have become the living word. It's just something to meditate on, Pat. Nothing to make a doctrine over. The doctrine of the living words. You'll do well to pay attention until what? The day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Aha. Okay, this is, as I see it, this is the relationship between the scriptures and Jesus himself speaking to you. Does that mean there comes a day when I don't need the Bible anymore. I got Jesus speaking to me. No. No, no, no. Sons of God people got off. They had a lot of truth. But they started drawing conclusions that were logical, but they weren't right.
Pray to the God inside of me. Hello, God. How are you doing today?
They had some screwy ideas. I don't know all of them because I wasn't part of that movement, but they got off. I heard they got off. It's easy to get off, okay? It doesn't mean that I don't meditate in the Scripture day and night. It tells me that, and it doesn't tell me to stop, so I won't. Okay, now here's a practical thing all right, having to do with the Scriptures, all right? Here's a couple practical things, and that is I recommend that we as a discipline, we're learning disciplines, read the Bible through once a year. Whole book. Sandy and I have gone over this before. Some of us can't do that. My dad reads so slow that if he did nothing but read that book, he wouldn't make it in a year's time. And again, not all of us can memorize and not all of us can read very quickly. Okay, but that's just a recommendation for those of us that are able to read that quick. I recommend that we read the Bible through once a year. And there are programs that you can get that help you read through the Bible once a year. There are chronological things where everything is written up in a chronological order so that you can read it as it happened in terms of chronology. And then there are other ideas I've done somewhere that have you read some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, and some in the Psalms every day. I like that. I've done that one the most. Okay? I don't have a real strict program, and I haven't read the Bible through in a year since I mentioned it first to you, Sandy. I haven't made it. But I read it, I cycle through. Okay? That takes me a little more than a year usually, but I cycle through. Okay? But it's just a recommendation. And when you're done, read it again. Cycle it again. Start again. Okay? So that by the time you get to be Pat's age, you will have read the Bible through 50 times at least. And believe me, if you read something 50 times, you're going to know a little something about it. Okay? Just through familiarity. Okay? So I recommend that. Now, and here's another recommendation that I make. This is just practical. Read different versions.
I was going to answer
that. I just answered that. Read different versions. Even though some versions are not as accurate as others. There are some versions I don't recommend. Okay? There are some versions I don't recommend. I don't. Some that are very popular and a lot of people use. I don't recommend them because they can draw you to a very wrong conclusion. So let me give you some that I recommend, okay? King James is very scholarly and it might be the most scholarly. But we wouldn't really know because we can't understand what it's talking about. It's archaic language for crying out loud, but it's very accurate. So if you're a diehard and you want to read that stuff and you know all the these and thous and the doists and all that sort of stuff, cool. The good version, if you can hang with it, get something out of it, it's very accurate, okay? But if you like the King James and you just can't quite hang with all the doeth thous and becometh and begetteth and all of that sort of stuff, your tongue just gets tied up when you try to say all those things. Read the New King James. It's marvelous. How many times have you heard people promote the New King James? It's great. King James, New King James sounds enough like the Old King James so that you sound like the King James. But it's also updated enough so that you don't stumbleth all the time through the words. Okay? And it's accurate. I love it. It's just not popular here for whatever reason. But read it through. Okay? Read it a couple times. All right? The NIV We use the NIV and we're familiar with the NIV. It's not one of the most accurate. Okay, there's a lot of people think it's very accurate, but it's not. Okay, but it's very readable. It's so readable. It's very nice. And the nice thing about reading these different versions is that when you read them, you read a verse because you're used to the King James and you got all these old crazy words memorized. You haven't got a foggy what they mean, but you have them memorized because you read them so many times. And then you read the NIV and you look at it and you go, ow, oh, this is heresy. This is nonsense. This is way off base, man. Look at this. And you get out the King James and you go, well, you know, it does say that. Now that you mention it. You just never really knew what the verse meant because you couldn't understand any of those words. No offense to you King James lovers. Okay? And the RSV. That's the Revised Standard.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's a good, that's a scholarly book. Okay? And that was used quite a bit as a scholarly book until the New American Standard came out, which was supposed to do that better, which was also a scholarly book and easier to understand. But I'm here to tell you, you couldn't memorize a verse in the New American Standard Version if you had to. It has no flow. I don't understand why. It just doesn't have flow.
But all the words that are not correct in King James or NIV are correct
in the New American. Yes, yes, most of the time they are. There are a few exceptions. So I personally, as you all know, that's my Bible. When I back in 1976 or 75, I forget now whether it was 75 or 76. I think it was 75. Yeah, August 75. When I finally made up my mind or whatever it was that happened, I was born again, I can tell you that much. The book I read was the New American Standard. And it made a lot of sense to me. Suddenly, for the first time, I understood. I was reading whole books at a time. I'd read Hebrews in one night or Romans in one night. I was just eating it up. And I was understanding what I was reading for the first time. So it has been, for me, my Bible. But I've gotten quite used to the NIV. And I like it. I do. I really like the NIV because it's pleasant to read. And like I said, it'll trigger you. But there's others. What's that Hebrew thing that you sometimes have with you?
Oh,
you don't have
Jewish
it with you.
Bible?
Huh? The complete Jewish Bible.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know how, it's not too bad scholarly wise. It's a little awkward because it likes to throw in the Jewish terms. So if you're not used to that, it's like, okay, it's kind of like it's over making a point. But it does help you see. It's a different way of reading. Yes, brother?
I have that one also. What it does is because the names of God, it'll have. I mean, the old version will say God or Lord. That
right.
One will actually use some of the.
It'll be right. It'll clarify. It'll clarify what, because we just say God or Lord, whereas there's many different names that God used and Lord, and it clarifies which one it actually was. Okay, not necessarily what it really means, but which one it is. Okay, so there are several that I recommend that can be read. Now, one that I don't particularly like. Okay, there's the Message and the Modern Things. Those are not scholarly at all. Okay, not even close, but they're interesting, and they'll give a new kick. They'll give a thoroughly new kick to verses. And you read it, and you read it, and you go, whoa! And it gives you some insight. Okay, but they're not necessarily accurate. They're based on modern theology, which is not necessarily based on Scripture. One I don't like that some people really like is the Amplified. The Amplified is useful if you're looking for what's that book you use whenever you want to find another meaning to the
thesaurus.
Huh?
Thesaurus.
Yeah, it's like a biblical thesaurus. Huh? No, thesaurus. It'll give you a word and then it'll put in brackets two or three other meanings of the, or their idea of the meanings of that particular word. Okay, but I was reading in Philippians. Okay, in the what's that called?
Amplified.
Amplified. Okay, this is the verse I was reading in the Amplified, and I can give you it tells you why I don't like it. Because it's based too much on commonly taught doctrine, which I think is way off base. And it comes to Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. And it says, "In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Do you happen to have that version in there? Do you?
No,
they don't have the Amplified. Okay, but I remember enough of it, okay? This is what it said. I can't quote it. Remember, I don't memorize, but I can't quote it for sure. You know where there is one, Ron?
Yeah, I think it's in the Bible, too.
Okay. Well, if we can find it. Anyway, it says, "That I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection." It amplified the resurrection, the spiritual and moral resurrection from the dead, even in the body. What does that mean? It means that I might be able to live in such a good life that I can live above my problems. The spiritual and moral resurrection from the bed while still living in the body.
Do we have it up there?
No, we don't. It's the opposite of what the thing means and what it's talking about. That verse is talking about a resurrection to come. Paul said, if we have hope in this life, only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope is in a life to come and a resurrection to attain to. Okay? And here it's talking about something we can have now. Not to come. And it's not a bodily resurrection. The resurrection Paul's talking about is a bodily resurrection with a new body. It's not talking about it. It's talking about a spiritual and moral resurrection in that we live above our problems. And Paul is saying, I'm willing to take the problems if it's going to gain me Christ. And then that verse changes around to say, we can attain to getting out of the problems.
Is that it?
Yeah, there it is. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. That's nonsense. Yes?
What would a moral resurrection mean?
What would a moral resurrection mean?
I don't get it. Sorry.
This is how I've heard it interpreted. That God expects you and I in this life right now to have it well, thank you. And we don't have to have it crummy. And we shouldn't have to expect it, because that verse right there shows us that even while we're living in our body, we don't have to succumb to the problems of this life.
Let's talk about a course.
Yeah, okay.
It's not.
Yes?
Amplified has always been, I know, if not at taking away or adding anything, refers mainly to Revelation, God's seal on it. But Amplified just seems like they've made up a whole new,
they've added stuff, right. Well, the problem is that they've done what they said they were going to do and amplify the words. But they've amplified it on the basis, just like the NIV does, without trying to, without even thinking they do. They amplified it when they talked about in John about going there.
Isn't it against the Bible
going to the Father?
Try to change any part of it.
Is it against the Bible to try and change any part of it?
She's thinking of Revelation.
The book of Revelation tells us not to add to or take away anything from it. Right. That book is the only one, though. Yes, John.
It
think you have to understand it, understand something correctly to be able to amplify it correctly.
Right.
I think what they said does make sense. I mean, I understand it, but I don't think it's the thing that Paul was saying.
Exactly. The thing that they say does make some sense because God can lift us up out of the problem is it's not a moral resurrection. It's a bodily resurrection.
Right, but I mean, if somewhere to say moral resurrection, I mean, it does make sense considering that most people don't have really the morals that they should.
I understand.
That they ought to have.
I understand it does make sense. And if I tell you, John, that in order to get where you're going, you must turn left when you're supposed to turn right, and you go walk into an intersection instead of where you're going, what I said made sense. But it doesn't stop you from getting run over when you walk into the intersection. Sandy?
Well, it seems like if you had a moral resurrection, then you wouldn't have to change while you're on the earth.
The verse is not talking about a moral resurrection or a spiritual resurrection.
Okay, so
the whole verse is talking about a bodily resurrection. The whole objective that he's trying to point out is that I am going to get a new body.
Yep.
And this, the way this is translated, takes from that totally. Doesn't say a thing about I am going to get a new body because they don't believe you're going to get one. They don't know about it. You're going to heaven. You don't need a body.
Yep. Oh, that's
talking about the old body.
While in the body. Because that's when you get a spiritual moral resurrection or a spiritual moral uplifting or whatever you want to call it. It's not what the verse is about. That's the problem. It's the opposite of what the verse is about. The verse is about something future in the body. This, the way it's translated, is something now that is spiritual and moral in nature and even not physical.
It's just even while in the body.
All right.
We're proving your point for you.
You're proving my point for me. So I struggle with that version. It can be helpful in many ways. You just have to, especially if you want to look for another way of saying the word, okay? It has many ways of saying it. But it can throw you into utter confusion.
Interlinear is good for that. It's actually the interlinear,
if you really want to
know, you know, the... interlinear. What they mean, because I actually use a source quite a bit, but I always check back with the interlinear and the Hebrew and Greek.
Do you know what an interlinear is? Okay.
Yes.
Show him an interlinear.
That's where we're getting all the stuff from. It's the source. Things. Yeah.
He's going to show it. The source doesn't mean anything. Pat, the source. The source?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You don't have the numbers with it?
Okay, an interlinear, it shows the original words, and then it shows, most interlinears show the original Greek and an explanation right underneath it. And when you speak in the Greek, you speak the way they speak. They'll say, that doesn't show the English words with it there.
No, well, the one I have that has the actual Hebrew Greek with the strongest numbers. Then you cross-reference.
Right. But that most interlinears have, underneath the word, they have the English translation to it.
Okay, you're right, yes.
Okay, and then on to the side, they'll have maybe the King James.
Yeah.
Okay. So that you'll see the way it's written in the King James, you'll see the way the words are in the Greek. Actually, those are those are not the Greek. Now you've got it.
Yeah, you can get the symbols on there.
See how it says? This is how it reads there, Pat. That I may know him and the power resurrection of his and the fellowship of sufferings his. You see that? That's not how we talk. That's how Greeks talk. Okay, that's why we don't understand Tony, because that's how Greeks talk.
I'm the scapegoat today.
Well, he got all the credit earlier for being the scholar. So, okay, so it tells you that, and then it gives you the number so that you can look up the word and the definitions of the word and how it's used in other places in the Bible. There are a lot of tools you can use. This is a tool if you really want to get down to cases on words. Again, the big thing is you need God's Spirit. Okay? That's what you really need. God's Spirit. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, was in the temple. And he was asking all kinds of questions. What does it mean here when it says, "And the Lord said to my Lord," who are these lords he's talking about? And the Pharisees are going, he has some strange questions. Because he wanted to know who this Messiah was. He knew who he was. He wanted to know what the Scripture said, who Messiah was. We have to have the Holy Spirit. He will lead us, if you look in John, he will guide us into all truth. Okay? So all the versions in the world and all the scholarly books in the world have led most people into egotistical nonsense and confusion. But the Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth. These things are helpful if the Holy Spirit prompts us in the use of them. Okay? Otherwise, we can come away from these things with doctrine of demons and error and every other thing and be firm that we know what it's because we got it out of the Bible, the Greek context and everything. And be dead wrong. Okay, so we talked a lot about the Scriptures. We didn't get to hearing from God. So next week we'll talk a little more about hearing from God, okay? You all right, John? Did I shoot you? Okay.
He's an old warrior.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we want to learn that sensitivity to your Spirit, Lord. We want to be able to walk in such a way as to not carry momentum. It's hard for us, Lord. It's not the American way. The American way is to gain momentum, carry that momentum, and take everybody with the momentum. And in you, we don't have any momentum. We're subject to the Holy Spirit, and he goes where he will. So, Lord, we're looking to you to guide us by your Holy Spirit, to guide our thoughts, our conversation, our direction, to convict our hearts, Lord, of things that are not right, things that don't bring life, Lord. There's so many things, Lord. They're interesting things, Lord. They're provocative and thoughtful. And just a lot of things we can think about, Lord. But not everything produces life. And we are on a pursuit of life. We have to gain life. We have to pursue life. We have to lay hold of life. So, Lord, as we're studying, we'll look again next time, Lord, at your word, how to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How does that happen, Lord? It's not always just the Bible. But that's what we're to live by. Help us, Lord, as we're studying, we're learning the value of the Scriptures, we're allowing you to guide us, to feed us. Feed us, Lord. Feed us. Keep each one of us, we pray, Lord, until we meet again. Thank you for our time together, Lord. It's precious.
Yes.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.